This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
In school, there's no classes on how to make friends, how to buy a house, how to love a child, how to talk someone out of suicide, or how to figure out what's important to me as a person. Not knowing how to do these things is what messes people up in life, not whether they know algebra or whether they know how to analyze literature.
You know, it's a very, very powerful quotation that you started off with, because we're not trying to diminish the knowledge of these subjects, but if that is going to be the sole preserve of education and teaching in the schools, then you are doing a serious injustice to these children, because we are gregarious animals, we are social beings, we're part of our society, and we got to live with other people, and it's how we manage those relationships can either be positive for us or negative. Our happiness is not so much our ignorance about those subjects, but rather our lack of knowledge in terms of how to engage with others. And that's important. We want to live in a world of peace where there's harmony, where there's a cultural understanding, the understanding of the other, the acceptance of the other. So we do not live in a racist society, not in a society where there's religious prejudice, not in a society, for example, in which there are nationalistic boundaries that are imposed on us, that we cannot transcend those boundaries to engage with other people that are in need. And that's part of our humanity. And it's a very, very powerful and evocative thing, because one of the things that saddens me, sometimes I ask teachers, what is your philosophy? And I heard one teacher said, if I teach my child 1 + 1 = 2 and he knows it, I'm very happy. Now I said, what? What? That is his understanding of what he is all about. He doesn't realize the negativity that he has with him. And I think such individuals are toxic to the system. They're toxic to the individuals, because none of his learners will remember him for anything that is positive, but they remember him for being a taskmaster, a person who never understood what education is all about.
I think now that we're into the third CD, we understanding, yes, that we need to make a change. We saying, yes, we want to move into the 21st century classroom. So then here's my question. What are the necessary 21st century skills that need to be taught at school?
Let's first talk about some of the core skills. The one skill is collaboration and teamwork. Again, there's an emphasis moving away from the individual. That has been, in essence, a recurring theme in our earlier schooling, and also teamwork. The idea of developing interpersonal skills and also intrapersonal skills, so that you yourself have positive thoughts about the others. The second thing is about developing really your creativity and your imagination. Fundamental. And you find also the third one is critical thinking, and last one, problem solving. In fact, just for your information, before we discuss the other general skills, they were the graduates from the University of Southampton. And they were asked this question, what was to them perhaps a severe deficiency in the schooling? You know what they said? They said, sadly, in our school, they never taught us creativity or how to solve problems. And these are the two fundamental things that we need in our workplace and in our studies. So that is the core values. And these skills that I spoke about are skills that educationists, people who know what is going on in ever-changing society, subscribe to.
Give me the four skills again. The first one, I know you said, collaboration and teamwork. Number two?
Creativity and your imagination.
And number three?
Critical thinking. And the last one, problem solving.
Okay, lovely.
So these were the... Now, I would also, inshallah, talk about the general skills that we also need to know.
But now, you know, these are the core skills, right? And somebody listening is going to say, well, I know those, right? If you can give me now the general skills, because the general skills, I think, is what will help me, give me an understanding on how to get children to collaborate, how to develop this creativity and imagination, how to develop critical thinking in the child. I'm worried, how do I develop critical thinking in an 8-year-old, perhaps a 15-year-old? Yes, I'd know what to do. But a teacher listening, how can we advise them on that? I'm just going to give you the general things that I want you to talk about. And then we're saying problem solving. Now, somebody's going to say, well, problem solving is just to do with maths. How do we problem solve in the other subjects as well? Because the focus is still me doing the academics, right? So we're not going to detract from that, but you're going to give me now the added skills to help me focus on these core skills.
You see, let me just give a very brief response to what you said before I look at some of the fundamental literacies that you speak about. Now, you find there was a time the question was, let's say in an English lesson, Jack and Jill were playing in the park. The question was, who was playing in the park? Jack and Jill. Simple. What were they doing in the park? They were playing. Where were they playing? They're playing in the park. So some of us think that's a sum total. But another person could ask the other question. From your experience in today's society, how safe is it to play in the park? You see? Now you find, you could ask another question. If you look at them playing in the park, these are young people, what image comes to your mind? And they say image of innocence. Then you ask this question. When you grow up as adults, we tend to lose our innocence. Right? In their happiness, playing there together. Right? What are the possibilities that because of the media, because of dysfunctional families, that they too will lose their innocence? I'm not talking about their sexuality, but generally they will lose their innocence. So again, it creates a lot of discussion. So what I'm saying to you also, now problem solving, asking questions like, you know what, okay, this is a situation. What do you think is a solution? How do you think we need to go about doing it?
I don't have to provide the solution as the teacher.
Correct. Now what happens? We have a tendency of providing the solutions.
It's just easier as a teacher to do that.
And more importantly, there is a concept called metacognition. Now, when, for example, when someone comes to an answer, before you say yes or no, you ask the person, how did you come to the answer? Now, what are you doing? You're exploring his thought processes. You're learning about his thinking process. If you got it wrong, that's also a fair question to ask. For example, collaborative learning. Let's say you and I are in the classroom. A teacher asks you a question. You raise your hand up. You're about to answer. And the teacher says, Shamima, before you answer, share your answer with me and together give me an answer. What are you doing? I'm acting like a sounding board to you, a critique. I might agree or disagree. So you're learning to share. Now, I remember there was this one particular workshop where a person asked this question. He gave them a task. He said, I want you to find a solution. Immediately, each one began to work on their own. He says, why are you working on your own? I didn't ask you to work on your own. Why? He says, it's part of our indoctrination at school. He says, tell me from the industries that you come from. These are powerful people in the industries. Do you encourage teamwork? They said, yes. Or do you encourage individuality? That's the whole idea. In other words, we want thinking, creative human beings that leave our schools, who have a vivid imagination, and who are problem solvers, because there are people today, for every solution, some of them got a problem, but there are those for every problem have a solution.
Now, I love that, you know, with these four core skills, you gave a few examples for a teacher, because just listening to that, even if I'm not teaching English, I got an idea on how to develop these core skills. Now if you can move on to the fundamental literacies, you know, the extended skills.
Now these are the I would say the fundamental literacies are really starting off from the bottom, right? And these skills are necessary so that students can cope with everyday life situations. Number one is the normal literacy, teaching them to read and write, right? Two is numeracy, the whole idea about numbers, mathematics, so on and so forth. Then you have what you call scientific literacy. Then you have also the ICT literacy. Then you have as number five, a financial literacy. And then you have as number six, you have cultural and civic literacy. Now, if you look at all of these things, firstly, when you become literate, you have access to information and to knowledge. To numeracy, you learn problem-solving skills. You learn mathematics. Scientific literacy, you begin to understand how science works and the achievements in science. And ICT, it's about, again, you know, your
technology.
Then financial literacy is something so fundamental. How does the financial world work in terms of budgeting, so on and so forth? And cultural and civic literacy is about, in the long and short of it all, how do you engage with fellow citizens in your community? Now, these are the fundamental literacies.
Now, you know, I love this fundamental literacies that you gave me because it actually ties in with my quotation that I started with, you know, where I'm saying that schooling doesn't teach me how to buy a house and it doesn't teach me how to get a friend out of wanting to commit suicide. It doesn't teach me how to make friends. But here you're saying to me, yes, I can make it about all of that. I can make it about helping a friend. I can make it about learning. And what I like is that you started off with the numeracy and the literacy. So you're saying, yes, guys, you still do your normal teaching because you've got to still impart the knowledge. I can't very well go around all day affirming the children and saying, you're these wonderful children and I love you to bits, but I've got to be imparting them, you know, imparting some knowledge to them, but using these core skills and these fundamental literacies as well.
In fact, if you look at from the fundamental, you go now to the competencies, right? And the competencies, basically, it's about how young people can respond to difficult tasks. And we mentioned those four competencies. The competencies we spoke about earlier on, collaboration and teamwork. We spoke about creativity and imagination. We spoke about critical thinking and problem solving. Now, these four that we spoke about initially are the ones that they develop as they spend a little more time in school. You start off with the fundamental. You understand? So these four will help them to cope with those tasks. But more importantly, Shamima, more importantly, something that we need to focus on, something that you alluded to, are the character qualities that they'll be able to develop through these developing these skills.
So what you're saying is we start off with the little kids with these fundamental literacies, these fundamental skills that they need. And whilst developing that in them, as an educator, I should know that those are the core skills. I want to develop in the child problem solving. I can develop problem solving in a 4-year-old who's in my, first grade classes. But I can develop in that in them because if there's a child coming to me crying to say somebody else has taken away his pencil, we can find a solution to the problem. And I can say to the child, well, what do you think you should do? Should you go up to him and grab it from him? Should you, was it the right thing you did when you pushed him on the floor and he started to cry? And you then teaching the child that I've got to solve the problem in an amicable way. I'm teaching the child also social responsibility. I'm teaching the child empathy and find a solution. But I think teachers are going to say, listening to this now, hey, I've been doing that. That means I've been developing these core skills just without realizing it. So I think if we get our teachers more aware that you've got to be focusing on these things. And these are the things that fall under these categories. The teachers are going to say, oh man, I'm ready for the 21st century classroom. I've already been doing it. I just need to push myself a little bit further. I need to just change my mindset a little bit, put in the word creative in my thinking when I'm doing my preparation for the next week. And if I just write creativity at the top of each week's paperwork that I'm going to do, and you know we teachers have really lots and lots of paperwork. Mm-hmm. But if I write that in big, bold, colorful writing at the top of each week's task, I'm going to remember to do something creative for that week. Am I not right?
Absolutely. That's a point. I think what you are emphasizing, that sometimes when teachers go to the classroom, they forget what is the overarching purpose. What do I need to achieve through this particular lesson? And because what happens when the lesson becomes an end unto itself, then it becomes a problematic, where the children are not able to connect it to, why am I learning this? They want to know, what is it in for me? You understand? And when the educator understands that he is helping these children and himself to have a dynamic classroom, so that these young graduates, they'll be able to thrive in society, they'll have the requisite skills to cope with that environment.
Okay, I just want to move on to a further example. In a classroom, I'm a senior teacher, senior grade teacher, and I teach geography. So I need to teach the children about farming in South America or farming in Africa, wherever. How can I put in these core competencies in it? You know, I've got to give them some of these facts. I've got an idea of what I think should happen in a classroom. But if you can just tell me how I can make it fun, make it creative in the with the kids.
Okay. You can create real life scenarios. You can say, there is a farmer, right? He has this particular challenge. These are the resources he has. How should he utilize those resources?
Problem solving.
The other one is, for example, that he wants to buy, for example, maybe some equipment for the farm. But there are two people offering it. One may be offering it slightly cheaper. But the other person, for example, is a much more established individual. What would you choose? Would you go for the bargain? You know what I'm saying to you? In that way, what you are really doing, you're exposing them to the real world. You know, for me, Shamima, more than anything else, you know, when you want to really create dynamism in the class, it requires a lot of preparation on your part. But you feel good because you have really stimulated the mind. Because children, you must understand, the attention span today is 5 minutes. So you got to keep on changing the state, your methodology, from group work, from talking, from outside the classroom, engaging them individually, you understand, dramatizing things, using the web, a whole range of things. So in other words, you are not predictable, you are an inspiration, and you are telling the children in the end, I can do it, I have the ability, because this is fundamental in terms of all classrooms.
Thank you, Idris, for that example. And, you know, as we going through the interview, I'm going to be asking you for lots more concrete examples, because I think what the teachers need to hear is that it's things they're doing in class. It's not having them go through a retraining and I have to now relearn how to teach. So I want to leave the teaching profession. It's me.
Shamima, I could just stop you there one moment. I'll tell you why a thought struck me, and I don't miss this thought, right? I recall that I studied through UNISA, right? And the English. And the others studied at other universities. Now, when I was teaching a poem, I used to go to a teacher. I say, Shamima, what do you think of this poem? If you were not a UNISA student at that time, you would have said, you know what, Kamisa, man, I never did that poem, Kalas. But if you ask a UNISA student, he says, come, let's look at it together. Because they were equipped with the particular critical skills. And that's a fundamental point, you know.
And children sometimes will say to you, you know, you tested us that in the exam, but you didn't teach it to us.
Correct.
I know teachers say this, because I say this as well, that we've got to test you to see what you know, but we've got to expand you further. We want you to think. We want you to have this critical thinking skill. And I think that is the fundamental skill that's lacking in our children. Now, talking about skills, Idris, what are the necessary character skills that a child requires in the 21st century classroom?
I think one of the points that we spoke about is the environment. The landscape is changing, both the external landscape and the internal landscape of the child. There are a number of things that we need to understand. For example, we want to develop in that particular child a sense of curiosity. And I recall this one response. There was once this Nobel laureate, and he was asked this question: to whom would you attribute your success? And he won it for physics. He says, you know what, I attribute it to my mother. And they were surprised, the people interviewing him. He said, your mother? He says, you know, many mothers would often ask the children, what have you learned today? But my mother had a different question. She used to ask me, what good question you ask today? And that led in me to be curious, to ask questions, and to create in me, you know, a kind of discipline for research. So curiosity is number one. Number two, you learn about showing initiative, because you've got to be proactive rather than reactive. The third one is you begin to develop what you call persistence and a kind of grit and a kind of dogged determination to succeed. And also, because it's a changing environment, you learn about adaptability. They say you adapt or you die. Adaptability. And this, to me, is something that is missing in many, many schools, developing in young people leadership qualities. Because we do not want them to be blind followers. We want them to be critical thinkers. We want them to have self-belief and say, yes, I can do it, to unleash the potential. Hee-haw! You know, I've done it. And last but not least, you know, the aspect of social and cultural awareness. And more than that, I think, you know, if you are in a faith school, you'll also have your spiritual and moral dimension, because the issue of ethics are critical in our society. It's not about manipulating others for your own ends, but rather engaging them so that together both of you can be winners. So these are some qualities that are so critical that will be developed in a dynamic school, a dynamic institution that is ready for the 21st century education.
Back again to my example, Idris, and I'm just going to take two. I'm going to take your first character skill that you spoke about, the sense of curiosity. Give me one example on how to develop it in a 10, 12-year-old.
One of the easiest ways is, as an educator, you encourage questioning. You encourage it. You do not become impatient. You do not demean any student who is asking you a question. No question is bad. For that individual, it's a burning question he or she has. And you find the way you respond to it, and when you applaud students for asking those questions, you'll find many more students will ask questions. And you find when students do ask questions, and if they are assessed, they say, yes, I remember that class. I vividly remember I asked a question, and that was the answer that I received. So you create a sense of curiosity. And it can be done not only in a laboratory, it can be done in any situation, you develop that.
Okay, one more I want an example on is the third one you spoke about, develop persistence to succeed. Now, you know, I know the child will try in a particular subject and just can't get a concept. How do I develop in that particular child that, yes, it's okay to fail, but you've got to try again and again and again?
Sometimes, you know, when students come to school, they say, you know, ma'am, I could not answer the question. Then you got to ask him, how much time did you spend? He says, spent, say, X number of minutes. Tell me, how did you tackle this? Did you see it from this perspective? Did you not do this? Do you not do this? Do you not do this? And when the person realizes that if I was more dogged, if I was showed more grit, if I was more persistent, and perhaps I looked at it from another perspective, I would have found a solution. Now, it also happens when you, as a teacher, an educator, you got to give children self-belief. You got to enhance the self-esteem. You got to give them hope and say, you know what, Shamima, you can do it. You know, I know you can do it. And this is important.
So that means your attempt was good, but you just missed out on this particular point. Don't you want to go back and look at that component and give them a little bit of a hint, a little bit of a nudge, and allow them to do it on their own?
Because you must understand, when someone gives up almost immediately, what they are saying, I'm useless, I cannot do it.
Absolutely. And then if I'm useless, I'm not interested in the rest of the lesson because I know I'm not going to do well in it. And then the teacher tends not to like me, and we're perpetuating a vicious circle.
Absolutely.
Okay, now we need to do so much in a school. We need to do so much in a classroom with our children, with talking to the parents as well. Now, I've got to get permission from the seniors at my school. Am I right? So my question to you is, what should be the attribute of a 21st century head teacher or principal?
You know, before I give you that, in the 21st century school, in fact, going out and doing those things will be a norm. Where the classroom is no more the sole preserve. It'll be automatic. It's you're thinking outside the box. So you're going to say,
what I want to say is that, yes, me as a teacher, I've intrinsically now accepted that I need to make some changes, and I wasn't doing something that was totally of benefit to the child. But how can I get my principal to accept this as well, and to for both of us to be moving in the same direction?
And you'll find it in the attributes I'm going to share with you. There was a survey that was done where head teachers were asked this question, identify 8 or 9 critical attributes. And the first attribute, they spoke about vision. Now, you find that every school needs to have a vision. What is our vision? What we want to develop, right? A student who is able to feel at home and comfortable in the 21st century. That's a given. Then we ask ourselves, what is our mission? How do we get there? What is the means we use? We look at our methodology. We look at a whole range of things. So the head teacher must be a visionary. He is an instructional leader also. He must be an inspiration to both the teachers, to the parent community, and the learners. The next quality is you must have courage. You must be prepared to take risk. You mustn't be a person there and say, I don't think it's going to work. I think the fallout will be too much. No. Remember this. It favors the brave, the person who is prepared to make that mistake, the person is prepared to learn from his mistake. The third important aspect is this, that he or she must be resilient. You do not give up. You do not give up. Also, very importantly, you got to have a passion for what you do. You got to be excited, you know. You find that, you know, I say sometimes some head teachers should rather be morticians, you know. They should work in the morgue rather than being at a school. They do not belong there. Like some doctors do not belong to the profession. You find when you go to a school, you say, hey, that headmaster or she, I like the style. They fit in beautifully at the school. Also, you got to have the powers of persuasion, because if you believe in something, you got to share it with people around you so that they say, know what, we believe in you. Let's go in it together. You also got to have, very importantly, a sense of curiosity. You got to go outside the bounds of your own school and say, hey, I wonder how, you know, Mr. Ahmed or Paul is doing. How's Mr. Ansur doing? or how this dynamic head teacher Shamima is doing. You understand? Let us go. Let us engage with them. A sense of curiosity. The other two points that I want to add is that what we want is creativity. Finding outside the box solutions. Being very, very creative in your imagination, the way you run the school, the way you manage your teachers. And last but not least, you must be a person that is amenable, to new ideas and also receptive to criticism. If you have these qualities, I believe you develop them. I like to believe that you're going to be running a dynamic institution and the teachers are going to say, hee-haw, I like it.
Idris, you've given me so many of the necessary 21st century skills that I want to just now recap everything that you've said to me so that I don't miss out anything. You spoke about the core skills that one needs in a 21st century classroom. You spoke about collaboration and teamwork, how to develop creativity and imagination, the importance of critical thinking, as well as problem solving. Then you went to the very core of it, the fundamental literacies that are needed, the very basic, where we start from. And there you spoke about your numeracy, your literacy, scientific literacy, ICT literacy, the financial literacy, and cultural and civic literacy. So that would be the basis, and then that would develop the core skill, the four core skills that you spoke about. Then the competencies is how would these young students respond to problems in their lives. Then you spoke about character skills and developing in children a sense of curiosity, them showing the initiative to start with something and to do something. Then you spoke about children must develop persistence to succeed. And there you remember you gave me some examples. How adaptable are children? Teachers need to develop that in the children. Teacher needs to develop leadership qualities in the children. Develop social and cultural awareness amongst the kids, as well as spiritual and moral dimension, if it is a faith-based school or depending on the kind of school you're at. And then the final bit to me was the most amazing, which is the attribute of a 21st century head teacher, as it were, because he is the most important person who can lead this change that we're wanting. He needs to be visionary and an inspiration to everybody. He needs to have the courage and be prepared to take a risk, especially with this change that we're wanting to happen. He needs to be resilient. That means he could try something and it could really not work. But he should not give up. He should have a passion for his craft. He must have the power of persuasion, which means he's got these beautiful ideas. He must be able to persuade the team that's under him. He needs to have a sense of curiosity, a sense of creativity, which is the thinking out of the box. And then the last two, he must be amenable to new ideas as well as acceptable to criticism. And there, my he that I'm using is definitely gender neutral, meaning our head teacher could be female as well.